But this is Sunday, January 21st, 2024. And we're looking forward to being able to serve the Lord this new year. We started a lesson last week entitled Revival or Religion. And we got through the first half of the lesson. I want to finish this lesson out for you today from Zechariah chapter 7 through Zechariah chapter 8, basically. And I reminded you last week that true revival, not this stuff that everybody just shouts and carries on a little while and goes home and acts the same way, but true revival comes from a truly grateful heart. That's how we have revival. We get our hearts stirred by God. We remember what God has done for us. And if you'll remember, last Sunday, I showed you a couple things. I want to just review on that real quick. We looked at the concern that the people had about fasting. If you'll remember, they had been fasting all these many years, for 70 years, fasting and praying and fasting. And the Lord asked them, they said, was there ever a time that you ever did it for me? Or was it all just for show? Did you just do whatever you did, you know, just because that's what I expected of you, or what? And you know, folks, the thing I want to encourage you with this morning is this. I don't care if you're a janitor. I don't care if you're a shoveler outside just moving snow or ice. If you're the pastor, you're the teacher, you're a bus worker, whatever you do, choir member, do it for the honor of God. Amen. Do it all as unto the Lord. Don't do it for selfish gain. Don't do it because nobody else is willing to do it. Do it because God's laid it on your heart to do what you do for the Lord. And last week we looked at this, and they asked the questions there in chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. Should we weep in the fifth month, separating ourselves as we've done these so many years? Do we need to just keep on doing this for you, Lord, or is it okay to just stop? You know, can we get back to a regular schedule now? And that was the attitude of the people. They didn't have a very good attitude about serving God. And God just looked at them and used Zechariah to speak to their hearts. And if you'll remember, the Lord's reply was, he gave them a message of rebuke. And he said to them there in verses 4 through 7, Zechariah chapter 7, verses 4 through 7, he said, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, when you fasted, and when you mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when you did eat, and when you did drink, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? In other words, their attitude was, let's go hurry and get this fasting thing done, and we'll pray a little while so we can get back and eat. And I can just imagine my mind saying, okay, put a double portion on when we get back and we'll be ready to eat then. We got to get this out of our way. Service to the Lord is not something we just do to get out of our way. We do it because we love the Lord to do it. And he said to them, he said, should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets? When Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain. So God had Zechariah give a message of rebuke to the people and ask them, did you ever once do what you did for God? Did you actually do it for the Lord? Or did you just do it for yourself? Was it just something to show people how spiritual you were? Folks, that's not the way we ought to serve the Lord, is it? That's just not the way we ought to serve the Lord. So today we come down to Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 14. And we see the Lord's reply, which was a message of repentance. He wanted them to repent of their attitude, the way that they were serving God. He had rebuked them. And you know, when God rebukes us, he does it for one reason. Restitution. Restoration. He wants to restore unto us a right spirit. You remember how David prayed in Psalm chapter 51? Would you mind turning over with me to Psalm chapter 51 just a moment? I want you to look at this with me. In Psalm chapter 51, this is after David had committed sin with Bathsheba. And not only had he committed sin with her, but he killed her husband so that he could get what he wanted. That's basically why he did it. He killed her husband so he could get what he wanted. And if you'll look at Psalm chapter 51, he first says, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me." Folks, until we acknowledge the fact that we've done wrong in the eyes of God, there will be no revival. There will be no restitution. There will be no restoration of spirit. And look what he said in verse number 4. "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." He said, from my very conception, I had the nature to sin. I was born with sin nature. Look what he said. "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities." Look at verse 10. He's asking God to do something he could not do in himself. He said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Too many Christians today are walking around with a wrong spirit. We walk around with a spirit that, boy, if this is the way it is, then I'm just not going to do this. I'm not going to do that for God. Folks, that's not the way we should be. We need a right spirit within us. We need a clean heart. And look what he said in verse number 11. I think when he was speaking to the Lord here, he was thinking about Saul. The Bible said here, David said, "Lord, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You'll remember in the Old Testament days, the Spirit of God dwelt with men. But when the New Testament age came, Jesus died upon the cross, he ascended back up into heaven, the Holy Spirit of God to indwell each believer and never to leave us, never to forsake us. We can't be unsaved, and the Spirit of God will never leave us. But David remembered what happened to Saul. When he rejected God's man, he rejected what the man of God told him, the truth that the man of God told him. Saul rejected all that, and the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and an evil spirit came and dwelt upon him. A bad spirit, an evil spirit. And folks, David didn't want that in his life. He saw what it did with Saul, and how bitter Saul got. There was nothing that could ever be done again that would please Saul. Nothing for the Lord. And you know, I've seen Christians get away from God and get bitter toward God. Folks that said they love the Lord, and they got bitter because things happened. Some man didn't do something. Some woman didn't do something right. And they got a bitter spirit. And folks, bitterness is hard to overcome. And it will eat you up. Let me tell you right now, it will eat you up in a heartbeat. And David didn't want that. So he said here, he said, "Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. When's the last time you've been rejoicing for your salvation? When is the last time you sat down and just thanked God for what he's done for you? You know what? We don't oftentimes thank the Lord for what he's done. I never want to forget what God has done for me. And I try to remember each and every day. And we were just talking this morning about some things today with people. And you know, if we're not careful, like I said, we'll look at things and say, boy, I'm not as bad as they are. But let me remind you, if it were not for the grace of God, you could be. You could have been. That could be you today. And man, I want to thank God that that's not the situation. So we need to remember, and we need to ask the Lord to restore unto us the joy of our salvation. I want to be a joyous Christian. You know what? No matter how bad I may feel, no matter how bad I may look, no matter what the situation is, I am still saved by grace. And nothing can change that. And you know what? I don't want my joy. The way I rejoice in my heart is my choice. Okay? It is your choice how you're going to rejoice in the Lord today. And if you want to choose to be an old grump, an old grouch, an old Grinch, whatever you want to be, you know, that's up to you. But I don't want to be that way, folks. And David didn't want to be that way. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. And he said, then, Lord, you know what's going to happen then? Look at the next verse. He said, then, when my heart is right, and when my joy is restored, and when I remember, God, what you've done for me, and I'm rejoicing in the joy of my salvation, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee. You know what the joy of the soul winner's heart is? It's the joy of their salvation. And you know what? I remember that little saying that Brother Stanger used to quote. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody what somebody can do for everybody. And you know what? That's what we ought to be today. When we've got the joy of the Lord in our heart, then we want to tell lost people. We want to tell sinners what Christ can do for them. Maybe the reason we don't do that today is because we don't have the joy of the Lord in our heart like we ought to have, or what we used to have. He said, then deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Boy, David wanted his heart to be right. And you know what? He prayed with the right attitude. And folks, I think that's what God was trying to get his people to do here in Zechariah's day. Look at verses 8 through 14 just a moment. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 8 through 14. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother. And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But listen to what happened. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Did you hear what he said? They did this to themselves. They made the wrong decision. They made the wrong choice. They chose not to express the joy of the Lord in their heart for his forgiveness, for his mercy. They just chose to be bitter. And they made their hearts stone as an adamant stone. And they did it for one purpose. What was that purpose? Lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, or because of this, came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. You want to know why the Lord God got mad at the children of Israel? Because they turned away his word. They rejected his rebukings. They rejected, they chose to make their hearts as hard as an adamant stone. And they said, I don't care what God says, I'm not listening. This is the way it is. And that was the attitude that they had. Therefore, it has come to pass that as they cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Let me remind you of something again today, folks. The Lord God is not pleased with empty rituals, just traditions of men. He's not interested in our so-called sacrifices unto God. Well, I took time to do this and nobody thanked me. I did this and somebody else should have been doing it. I did this and I gave money and preacher never shook my hand again. And God help your sorry soul. Listen, God looked at them and said, this is the reason that you had to go through the 70 years of captivity. This is the reason that you had to endure what you had to endure. What God wanted was for them to just love him from an honest heart. He wanted true righteousness in their hearts. He wanted them to just love the Lord. And look what he said in verses 9 and 10. Execute true judgment. Do what's right. He said, show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. He wanted his people, basically he wanted his people to be different from the people in the world. The world today doesn't care. There's a lack of compassion today in our world. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Why? Because there's not a leader to lead them in the right direction. And folks, God wanted his people to be different. God wanted his people to be noted for being different, showing a different kind of love and compassion. Is that not what Jesus told his disciples when he left him and went into heaven? He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Boy, that's not being seen today. Listen, our faithfulness to church, our willingness to give our money, our willingness to outwardly give service unto God on Sunday, it means nothing, absolutely nothing to God if our heart is not in it, if we're not doing it for the right reason. And even sadder, look at what God had Zechariah remind them here in verse number 11 and 12. When God had rebuked those people and God had shown them the truth through the preaching of the word, through the men of God, they refused to hearken. When you refuse to do something, you're making a choice. And they chose not to hearken. They pulled away their shoulder like, God, don't be bothering me with that stuff. Don't aggravate me with that. They stopped up their ears that they should not hear. They made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Today we call that quenching the spirit. And we've been commanded, 1 Thessalonians, quench not the spirit. When you and I basically
quench the Spirit.
The Spirit of God is telling us, you need to be doing this for me. Listen, you need to have compassion. That could be you. You need to love this person. You need to forgive that person. You need to show some godly characteristics in your life instead of ungodly characteristics. We refuse. We turn away our shoulder. We quench the Spirit of God working in our lives. And folks, we're not unsaved, but it gets to the point we act like we're unsaved. We act like we did before we got saved. And God doesn't want that. And he said here, he said, therefore, for that reason, came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Folks, let me ask you today, you think America's not going to suffer wrath at the hand of God if we don't turn back unto God soon? If we don't have a revival in the hearts and lives of Christians and folks that proclaim to know Christ, we're facing some wrath to come. And it's coming. And you know, I think about the words that God said unto King Saul through Samuel. If you want to mark these verses down, you can mark them down and read them again. They're in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. And Samuel looked at Saul, and he said, Saul, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Folks, what a sad day that was for Saul. And folks, if we're not careful, if we don't pray and ask God to revive us, our nation today is going to suffer the same thing. God's going to reject it, and he's going to bring down judgment upon it. But you know, in chapter number 8 now, God has Zechariah give his people, after rebuke, he rebukes them, he gives them an opportunity for repentance. He reminds them that there is blessing coming, and they need to look to God for that blessing. And in chapter number 8, we see here future blessings for Israel. And he talks about restoration, the restoration of Israel. Boy, right now, Israel's going through a lot of turmoil, a lot of heartache, a lot of problems. But there's coming a day of restoration, and things are going to be different in that day. Things will be different. And this chapter is divided into, basically, it's divided into seven sections, describing the blessings. But I want you to notice that each of these sections begin with a little phrase. And you can see it in there. And it begins with these words, or something similar to this. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, God is making it emphatic. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you there's blessing coming. The world today says, oh, there's no God, there's no blessing from God, there's nothing to look forward to in this life, this is the way it is. God said, no, there's coming a day. And look at verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. He still loved them. He cared for them. He wanted nobody else but them as his chosen people, and he would not allow those nations that had abused them and done such cruel things unto her, mistreated her, to get away with their sin. And so God is saying here, look at it, I'm jealous for you with great fury. Verse 3, he reminds me, he says, thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion. Boy, when God comes and is on the scene, that's a time of rejoicing. Amen. If you'll remember in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, John is writing about these seven churches. And when you first see those churches described, Jesus is walking in the midst of them, walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Remember that? But when you get down to the end of it, he's at that church, Laodicea. And what is he doing? He's standing outside the door, knocking, saying, please, if any man will let me come in, I will sup with him and he with me. He's begging to get back in to where he ought to be from the beginning. And he's telling them, I've come back to Zion. Zion is my holy place. I've not forsaken you. I've not left you. I'll not leave you. And look what he said. He said, I'm returned unto Zion, and I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, and the holy mountain. If you read over in Ezekiel chapter number 10, it talks about the glory that was taken away from the temple of God before Jerusalem fell into sin. It talks about how the glory of God was taken away. But when you get to chapter 43 of that book of Ezekiel, God said, I'm going to bring back that glory. It's going to come back again. And it's going to be known as the city of truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign with a rod of iron. And buddy, what a day that's going to be. Amen. And verses 4 and 5, he repeats the words, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Boy, you sure don't see that today, do you? You don't see those things happening today. But God said, I'm telling you, there's coming a day that all these things are going to come to pass. And look at verse 6 through 8. God's got a plan for his chosen people in that day. And this is what he said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the eastern country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. And then look at verses 9 through 17, where he not only encourages the man of God, Zechariah, but he's encouraging Zerubbabel and all the people. He's trying to let them know that it's all right. Go back and do the work I've commanded you to do. Finish the job. Finish the temple. Finish restoring the glory and the honor to Jerusalem. And look what he said here in verses 18 through 23. There's rejoicing. There will once again be rejoicing in Israel. Here, God deals with the original question that he asked that brought him back to chapter 7. And you know, he asked there, did you ever once do any of these things for me? And the answer was no. But these outward fasts and these outward proclamations of piety and these outward sacrifices that they offered in the name of God, listen, those days of sorrow and despair were going to come to an end. And he said here, verse number 19, that those days would be replaced and there would be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore, love the truth and peace. You see, their new love for truth and for peace would be the motivation for all that they would do for the Lord in that day that was to come. And folks, listen, we've got the whole canon of scriptures right here. If you'll read in the New Testament scriptures, you see how the story ends. You see what God is going to do. And brother, let me tell you, if that does not encourage your heart to stay faithful, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind, with all your might, folks, I don't know what will. And he was trying to get them to understand, listen, remember, I have said, I have written in my word, these things will come to pass. There's going to be joy. There's going to be gladness. There's going to be rejoicing. And look at what he tells them here in verses 20 through 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray unto the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Listen, this year our trip to Jerusalem got canceled. Warfares and rumors of wars and all the things going on canceled all the plans for anybody wanting to go into Israel and go see Jerusalem. But God says, I'm going to fix things. Amen. I'm going to fix it. And there's going to come a day where everybody from all nations are going to come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. And they're going to come to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, and even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, well, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Man, isn't it great to know that we can be around folks today where we know that God is with them? Man, my heart, standing back here listening to you folks pray for me. Well, that's a joy to my heart. That's a joy because we know that God is with you. He hears your prayers. He answers those prayers. But the Jews weren't known for that. But God said, in that day, man, folks are going to come and grab the skirt of your coat there. They're going to grab your coat. They're going to say, man, we'll go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You're God's people. Boy, what a day that's going to be for the people of God. That's a far cry from what the world's saying about God's chosen people today, isn't it? But boy, what a day that's going to be. And wouldn't it be great if the world around us today would take a look at Christians and they'd grab us by the arm and say, man, I know God's with you. I got to go to the house of God with you. Folks, they hear what God is doing through our lips. They see what God is doing through our actions. Are they turned away or are they being turned unto the Lord? That's the question today. Zechariah tried to encourage his people and say, listen, live for God. Let the people around you see God in you. That was the whole purpose of God bringing the children of Israel into Canaan land, that the nations around them would see and know that the Lord God of Israel is the true and living God. Now let me ask you today, how many folks can look at your life and be motivated to know? How many folks can look at me and be motivated to know that God is with us and to know that the God we serve is the true and living God? Well, you know what? That ought to be motivation to us today to turn and say, Lord, I'm going to serve you from my heart. I'm going to give you my all today. Revive us, but let it begin with me. Amen? Let it begin with me. The devil is tempting folks today to forsake serving God from an obedient heart. We get frustrated with people. But let me remind you something. Our pastor says this all the time. The best of men are still only men at best. The best of men are still only men at best. Man will let you down. But God will never, never let you down. That's why we're commanded in the book of Hebrews to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And today, he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, for consider him who endured such contradiction of himself. You get sinners, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You get your eyes set on people, you'll get weary in the Lord. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on Jesus, folks. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you down. Revival or religion? What do you have today in your life? Are you going to have, you're going to ask for revival? Or are you going to just play around with man-made dogma and religions? I want revival, folks. God, send us revival and let it begin with me. Let's pray today. Father, Lord, I love you today. And I thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to teach this lesson, to finish it out. And Lord, I've tried to give the people your word as you've given unto me. And Lord, I want it to be a help and an encouragement to those that maybe today are just discouraged. They've had their eyes set on people. People have let them down. Lord, I know I'm probably sure in that number of letting people down at some point in some time. And God, I don't mean to, but I'm just a man. But Lord, my prayer today would be that you would help your people to keep their eyes set upon you. Above all men, above all other things in this world, God, help them to keep their eyes upon you. Lord, I don't believe we're going to be here very much longer. And Lord, we want to be able to stand before you and hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But Lord, we can't do that if we focus upon ourselves and we offer sacrifice and service and our attitudes unto you just for outward glory. Lord, help us to do what we do today because we love you and because we're thankful for what you've done for us. And Lord, if there be somebody today listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, and Lord, the devil's tempted them and shown them just religion and hypocrisy, Lord, let them see you today in our lives and help them, Lord, to know that you're still in the soul-saving business and you're willing to save if they're willing to ask you to forgive them of their sin, repent of their sin, and turn unto you with a humble heart. Help us now, Lord, to love you and give you our very best in all that we do. And Father, we'll thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school class. Amen.